All right, then let's talk about New Year's resolutions. As you know, we're doing a short series on the transition of the year, probably throughout the month of January. And during this time, we'll have a different service format. So we'll have a shorter sermon, less time listening to me. And then after that, we'll have a time of soaking, hearing from God what he wants to say to us personally, followed by a time of sharing and praying for each other. So that's what we are going to do throughout this month. And then probably next month, we'll return then to our usual format of longer sermons. So last week, we covered looking back at 2024. None of us had a perfect year. None of us had a year where everything just went perfectly and we had no problems and no issues. But also, none of us had an exclusively horrible year where everything just went only wrong all the time. And what we looked at then is the fact that God doesn't want us to be glass half full or glass half empty. He doesn't want us to be like, yeah, okay, it was a mixed year or something like that. What he wants from us is to give thanks in all circumstances. Psalm 23, he wants us to overflow. Overflow with joy, overflow with peace, overflow with gratitude, because the blessings that we have in him are so much greater than the problems we have on this earth. So when we look at our lives on this earth that way, then we can rejoice in all circumstances and give thanks in all circumstances, even when we face difficulties in this life. Now today's focus, last week we looked back, 2024. This week we look ahead, the topic of New Year's resolutions. Many people make New Year's resolutions. Maybe we are a little bit late with the game now. Today is the 12th, but a week ago or 11 days ago, many people said, made plans for 2025. They said, this is what I want to achieve this year. This is what I want to change this year. And this is how I want to live differently in the coming 12 months. Some people say, you know, this coming year, I'm going to eat more healthily, or I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to do more sports. Other people say, you know, I want to use my time better. Other people say, you know, I need to invest more in relationships. I have to improve things in my family. And many people, Christians and non-Christians alike, kind of use this time between the years that they say, you know what, let me reflect on what my year was like, and then let me make plans for the coming year, how I want things to change. So many people start the new year very motivated, and they are like, this is the time, this year I'm going to make it happen. And then life happens. Work starts again. We start being stressed at work again. Maybe school starts again, and we start writing exams and these kind of things. Life gets hectic again. And after a few days or weeks or maybe a month or two, but eventually life goes back to the way it was back in December. We just come to the point where we say, yeah, I was motivated. Yeah, I wanted to make a difference. But actually, maybe in February or in March, people look back and they say, all my resolutions that I made for the year, they are gone. And I was not able to keep them up. Today is January 12th. I don't have statistics for this, but this is just my personal guess. 80% of New Year's resolutions are probably already out of the window by now. So my question today is, what is the biblical approach to this topic? Does the Bible say anything about the topic of New Year's resolutions? And are there any tools that we can use to actually make it happen and to actually make a change? Before I go into the topic, I want to lay two foundations, making sure that nobody misunderstands me. First one is, there's nothing magical about January 1st. This is just kind of human wisdom, and there's nothing wrong with that. But because it's a new year, many people feel at this time, hey, maybe I need to make a change or try to make a change at this time of the year. Now, that you can't find anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, well, on January 1st or at the beginning of the year, that's when you have to make these kind of resolutions. That's when you have to make a new start. You can't find that. However, becoming more godly is something very, very biblical. The Bible tells us, grow in holiness, become more like God, become more loving, bear fruit, good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Turn away from sin. Become less sinful a year from now than you are today. So these kind of commandments, these kind of principles, we find all over the place, all over the Bible. So the reason why I'm mentioning this now is New Year's resolution are not something we can find in the Bible. There's nothing magical about January 1st. But growing in holiness and becoming a better person is very, very biblical. That's something we should do all the time. That should be our lifestyle. That should be something we should be known for. That when people look at us, they are able to say, wow, look at this person. I've seen him change. I've seen him become better. I've seen him change in his workplace. I've seen him change in our relationship. I've seen him change. He is a different person than he was a year ago. Or she. I don't want to be, I want to be careful about gender and everything in today's society. But my point is, Christians should be known for change. Christians should be known for becoming more loving, more holy, less sinful over time. And so that's what I want to focus on today. We don't have to have New Year's resolutions in that sense, but it should be a lifestyle for us to constantly reflect and to constantly say, how do I, can I become a more holy person? How can I become more like God? And the question that I want to answer today is, how can these kind of resolutions, whether we make them on January 1st or on March 20th or whenever we make them, how are they sustainable? That we don't just say like, okay, I'm motivated, let me become better, and then 2 weeks later it's gone again, but that we are able to say, I have a resolution, and then we look back 6 months, a year later, and we can say, there was true change, and I have truly achieved my goal. To do that, let's look at what the book of Psalms says. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. So this psalmist is talking about work. He's talking about building a house. He's talking about watching or guarding a city. But this principle goes beyond just work. Of course, it applies to our work in the marketplace, earning money. It applies to our studies. It applies to maybe the way we look for a job or we want to change a job. It applies to working at home. Maybe this is a season where our work is at home. It applies to how we build our family. But it also applies to how we work on ourselves. It applies to how we try to change ourselves. That's also a form of work, how we try to become more holy. And I would guess that most people have some form of goals for this year, no matter what our work is. Or maybe our main goal is for ourselves, that we say, hey, this year I want to, talking to myself, lose some weight, or something like that. And what does this psalm say? Well, if God isn't working with us, we will fail. For example, if I now, most of you know, I'm currently looking for a new project in my job. If I now say, I want this particular project because it pays really well, but God isn't in it, what will happen? 6 months from now, I will probably be totally exhausted. Maybe I have a big bank account, but I'll just be exhausted. I feel like I'm in the wrong place, and eventually I might get fired because I'm in the wrong place, or I'm not suited, not gifted for this particular job, or something like that. And eventually all kinds of weird stuff happens. And then 6 months from now, I look back and I'm like, what happened? Where did I go wrong? Why did this not work out? And then I would probably have to admit to myself, you know why I signed that contract? I signed that contract because there was big money behind it. But God wasn't in it. I just did this job all by myself, in my own strength, in my own wisdom. God did not guide me. And then he did not work with me. And because he did not work with me, I had to do it all by myself. And that's why it failed. Another example. Let's assume I'm single. I'm entering a romantic relationship and I'm thinking about marrying and I'm really investing in the relationship and I'm trying to make things work. And after investing in the relationship for many months, nothing improves and eventually things go bad and there's a breakup. And then we wonder, what happened? Why did this relationship not work out? Well, maybe in the end we have to admit we pursued this relationship all by ourselves. God wasn't in it. It wasn't his will. And so eventually the breakup happens not because we were not good enough or anything, but simply because we were working in vain, as the psalm says, because God did not work with us. Last example, maybe we're thinking of making a financial investment. We're buying a house or car or something like that. We make a plan, we take a loan, we are sure we can pay it all back and it's all in control and we think like, this is a great idea, let's do this. And so we buy the house and then suddenly the house costs a lot more than we expected. Maybe some renovations or something pop up and suddenly it costs another 100,000 or something like that. Our finances spiral out of control and eventually we have to sell the house again because we don't have enough money and we can't repay the loan. And we wonder, God, what happened? Why did this happen? What did you do? And then eventually we come to the point, you know, I never asked God whether he wanted me to actually buy this house. This was not his will. And as this psalm says, I was just laboring all by myself. God was not in it, and that's why it failed. And now I have to deal with the consequences of my decision. Working without God will fail. As the psalm says, it's in vain. And sooner or later, if we try to live like that, sooner or later, something bad will happen. Because if God isn't in it, if he doesn't give us strength, he doesn't give us wisdom, he doesn't show his favor and these kind of things, sooner or later, things are going to go wrong. So what's the solution? Well, what most people try is, God, you have to now bless what I'm doing. So God, I want to buy this house, and then we pray really hard that God will bless our purchase, that God will bless our investment, and we'll just try everything we can to make God do what we want him to do and bless our idea. Or we do something, God, I really want to marry this person. And then we kind of ask God to make the relationship work, and we just expect him to do our will. Or we pursue this particular job or project or whatever, and then we go to God and we say, God, give it to me. Just make it happen. And we just pray really hard, trying to convince God to do our will. But that's not the solution. God is not our wish box. He's not just a power up there that we can just tap into to get him to do whatever we want him to do. So we have to change our approach. Instead of trying to get God to support what we want, we should turn that around. And we should say, God, what do you want? What is your will? Tell me, what is your plan? And then whatever you tell me, that's what I'm going to do. If you tell me to buy this house, I'll buy the house. Even if it looks risky financially, but if that's your will, I'm going to take it. If you want me to not buy this house, I'm not going to pursue it any longer. Maybe same with the job. And we say, okay, God, I have an offer in front of me. Do you want me to sign it? Is it your will? I'll sign it. Even maybe the salary is a bit lower, or maybe it looks a bit like I'm not sure if I can really make it. But if that's what you want, I'll do it. And the same the other way around. If this is not your will, I don't care about how well it looks to me. I don't care about how much it pays. I don't care about money, earthly security and money or something like that. If you don't want me to sign it, I will not. And I will say no. So our approach should not be, God, do what I want you to do. Our approach should be, God, what is your will? And I know if I will do what you want me to do, then I'll be successful. Then you will bless it. Then we will work together, as it says here in this psalm. Then you're the one guarding the city. You're the one building the house. You're the one working in this job. I'm just a channel. I'm not the one actually doing the job. You're the one doing it. And you give me the wisdom, and you give me the favor, and you give me everything that I need, because it looks beyond me. I don't think I'm capable of doing it. But if that's your will, I know I will succeed. I know you will succeed through me. And so I will do whatever you want me to do. Very different approach from New Year's resolutions in our own strength. The good news is, Jesus knew this. Jesus, the Son of God, he was not only a human being. He was a human being like you and me, but he was so much more than that, because he was fully man and also fully God. And he understood, I cannot manipulate my Father's will. I cannot manipulate my Father to do whatever I want him to do. I have to turn this principle around. I have to hear what my Father's will is. Then I will do that, and then I will succeed. John 5, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So what was Jesus' lifestyle that we should follow? First thing, acknowledge, I can't do anything by myself. I can't make anything happen. I cannot make my family work. I cannot make my marriage work. I cannot make my job work. I cannot make my finances work. I cannot make my relationship with my neighbor work. I can't make it work. I don't have it. If God removes his grace and if God is not in it, I will fail in everything that I'm doing. So I can't work without God. If I try, I will fail. As the psalmist says, I labor in vain. So that's the first attitude we should have. I can't do anything by myself. Secondly, what is Jesus saying? Rather than doing what I think is right, I want to see what my Father is doing. I always ask my Father, what are you up to? What is your plan? What is your purpose? What do you want me to do? Jesus always lived by the principle, I want to do my Father's will. And the good thing here in this verse is that he's saying, my Father shows me. This is not impossible. This is not guessing or something like that and trying to be like, oh, I think God wants this, or I think God has that. No. Jesus is saying, the Father shows me all things. And we can see the Father's will as well. We can live like that. And we can see from the Father what he wants to do. He speaks to us. He guides us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. And then the third step that Jesus took was, first, I acknowledge I can't do anything by myself. Secondly, I look to my Father. Father, what do you want to do? And then thirdly, once you show me, I'll just do whatever it is. I don't want to work alone. I don't want to work by myself. I don't want to pursue something that is from me apart from God. I'll do the works of my Father. I'll do the work that my Father wants me to do. And then I know I'm not going to work alone. Then I know I'm going to be successful. These two passages really complement each other very nicely. Psalm 127 talks about the negative side. What happens if we work apart from God? And it says, I labor in vain. There's nothing I can achieve if I try to work in my own strength. In John 5, Jesus now gives us the positive example. And he says, you know what? How to avoid laboring by myself, I look to my Father, I see what my Father is doing, and then I do his will. That's the positive side of the equation. So with these principles, let's bring it back to New Year's resolutions. Most Christians fail in their resolutions. Why? Because they simply try to pursue their own goals. This year I want to get married. This year I want to get a promotion. This year I want to buy a house. This year I want to lose weight. Whatever resolutions we might make. And most of the time, even Christians, they simply pursue their own goals. And then they say, okay, God, help me achieve my goal. Help me get this promotion. Help me lose weight. Help me get married, whatever it might be. But it's still they themselves apart from God. And then what is God's answer? No. I'm not here to fulfill your wishes. I am God. You're not. I'm not going to support you in your pursuit of your own goals apart from me. And what will then happen? Then we will experience what was written in Psalm 127. We'll work, we'll get tired, we will fail, and we will not be able to reach our goal. Because working apart from God is in vain. If we try to pursue our own New Year's resolutions, our own ideas apart from God, we will always eventually fail. This, of course, applies to non-Christians because they don't have God. They don't put God in the equation at all. But it also applies to us as Christians if we simply pursue our own goals. But there is a way of following through with these kind of New Year's resolutions. And that way is, of course, living the way that Jesus lived. And so around this time, the change of the year, and if we really make plans specifically for 2025, or maybe we say, no, for me it's the summer break, and we kind of go by the school year, and we say, that's my time to kind of look ahead, and then we go from September till July or something like that. That doesn't matter. But when we approach this kind of goal and we say, this is what I want to change in my life, we need to do it like Jesus. God, what do you want? What is your plan for my life? What are your goals for my life? In what area do you want me to grow in my life? Is this a year when you want me to pursue holiness more? Is this a year when you want me to pray more? Is this a year where you want me to grow in my spiritual gifts? What is your purpose? How do you want me to grow this year? What kind of changes do you want me to make in my life in 25? Step one, going to God and asking God, God, what do you want? And then staying there until we hear from him. Sometimes this takes a minute. Sometimes this takes a week, a month. When my wife and I prayed about our relationship, we needed a year. That was the longest prayer we ever prayed about guidance from God. We needed 12 months to discern whether it was God's will for us to get married. So yeah, it sometimes takes time. So we wait to hear from God what he says. And once we hear, we change our prayer. First prayer is, what do you want? And then when he answers, we say, okay, God, if this is what you want, then let's make it happen together. Do you want me to get a promotion this year? Then help me work well and faithfully so that I qualify for the promotion. Do you want me to get married this year? Help me get ready. Help me be a good husband. Help me be a good wife. And help me prepare well so that once we enter that relationship and once we enter that next season of our lives, then we will not hurt each other and we will be prepared, we will be mature, and we can truly honor you with our relationship. You want me to move to a different country? Whoa, that's a big step. Give me wisdom with the logistics, because I don't want to leave a mess behind in my old country. I don't want to just kind of move somewhere and then create a mess there. Okay, God, please guide me in the different steps. What do you want me to do so that this will be a successful transition? Guide me in the details. God, you want me to stay in my current job? I don't really want to stay, but do you want me? Okay, give me a heart. Things with my boss are difficult right now, but give me a desire to really serve the company, to work well, because I don't have it right now. And if you want me to stay, then please give me a desire to really want to stay so that I don't kind of work here, but my heart is somewhere else. Give me the heart for where you want me to be. You want me to lose weight this year? Okay. Then give me the discipline to eat better, exercise more, and take good care of my body. So first we hear from God what he wants to do, and then we change our prayer. And we pray for the things that we know God wants us to do. And then, of course, we have to act. I don't lose weight magically. If that's what God has for me, then I need to do something about it. I need to act on the word that God has given me. If God wants me to change job, I need to eventually act. I need to start applying, or I need to start handing in my resignation or whatever he has. Of course, we need to ask God for the details, but we need to act and can't just wait for something supernaturally to happen. Sometimes our prayers don't get answered because we don't take the first step, which isn't really the first step, but we don't take the step of putting what we hear from God into action. So first we pray and ask God what his will is, and once we know what God's will is, we pray according to God's will, and we act according to God's will. This is the biblical way of pursuing New Year's resolutions. And if we do that, we know we will be successful. We know we will not fail because God is in it. Doesn't mean that we don't have setbacks. Doesn't mean that it's easy. Sometimes God's way up is first two steps down and then seven steps up. So that's just how God works. So we will have these bumps, we will have these ups and downs, but if we follow through, sooner or later, we will realize, yeah, it was difficult, yeah, it looked like I took a lot of detours, yeah, it looked like I failed in the middle, but God brought me through. He did what he said he would do. The important thing is, it has to be from God, and we have to cooperate with God. We have to ask him to guide us, strengthen us, lead us. We have to ask him to give us the necessary patience, but sooner or later, God's word will come true. And if that's how we approach New Year's resolutions for 25, then we can sit here in a year and we can share with each other, this is what God spoke to me in January 25, and he did make it happen. Now I see it. Personal example that I just went through. As some of you know, my contract is coming to the end by the end of this month, and so I heard about it in December. And so for many reasons, by my human wisdom, I said, God, it makes perfect sense if you give me something earlier than February. It makes perfect sense for the company situation, for my personal situation and everything. I think you should give me something by January. by early January. So there's a Christmas break. I finished my old project there, and then I start something new on January 7th. That was kind of how I approached this whole thing immediately, initially. And while I was praying like this, I felt God was saying, like, what are you doing, Bernd? How are you praying? And then I eventually realized, okay, this is not the right way. I should pray differently. And I kind of restructured and how I approach God differently in my prayers. Do you see the picture now? You haven't heard this yet. My dad passed away last Thursday. What do you think would have happened if God had answered my prayer like that? And while I'm onboarding in a new project, I'm dealing with all of this. It would have been a total disaster. And I'm so thankful that God did not answer that prayer the way I wanted. So I don't know when he will give me something new, but one thing I'm absolutely sure about now. My prayer was not God's will, and that's why he didn't answer it the way I asked him in the first place. So here are my closing questions for all of us. Questions we can spend some time meditating on. We can now ask God during our soaking time, and maybe also in the coming days at home, in our quiet time. God, what is your will for my life in 2025? What's your will for my family? How do you want me to invest in my family? What do you want me to change in my family? What is your will? What is your will for my career? Stay put where I am? Do you want me to just work well and not look at other opportunities or something and just kind of put my focus on my current job? Do you want me to change position? Do you want me to change company? Do you want me to change my long-term goals and visions that I'm having because they were my own? What about my church? What about my ministry? In our case, what about Aletheia? What do you want me to do in this church? How do you want me to serve you in this church? How do you want me to build your kingdom this year? What do you want me to do to bring other people into your kingdom in 25? What about my personal life? What do you want me to change in my daily practices, in my secret life that nobody else knows? What sin do you want me to overcome this year? In what aspect of my Christian walk do you want me to grow? That's the kind of questions we should ask God. And then whatever he says to us, then we should put it into practice. And we should pursue the goals that God has for us this year instead of pursuing our own goals. May we pray. Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you that you have a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will for our lives. And thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that we are not alone, but you are the good shepherd. You guide us, and you know what is truly best for us. As we seek you, please speak to us. As we spend some time soaking, we pray that you will help us to really hear your voice, hear what your purpose, what your plan is for our lives, and then give us the faith and the courage to pursue, even when it looks risky, when it looks crazy, when it looks like this could wreck us, but give us the faith to truly pursue your will for our lives. So speak to us as we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So let's spend some time soaking. I'll put some music on, and let's just all hear from God first personally.